Hey there, I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Thanks for joining us again this week for Prairie Beat,
our weekly news podcast from those of us here at Prairie Public. Where else, Danielle? What is going on in the news this week?
So earlier this week, I did a story about hantavirus because once in a while, hantavirus hits the news cycle. And it's something that we do like to talk about here in North Dakota from time to time.
Yeah, well, and Gene Hackman and his wife who passed away from hantavirus.
Yeah.
That was the last time it was a big major national / international headline. And now we have this cruise ship to nowhere, at least. We don't know where it's going out in the middle of the Atlantic near the Cape Verde Islands right now. It's getting a ton of attention.
So, yeah, you're not wrong about that. I admit to doom scrolling a lot, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, other stuff going on in the world.
Yeah.
So because of that, I'm seeing a range of discussions about this cruise ship with the hantavirus on it. I mean, anywhere from, you know, this is not something that the greater public needs to be panicking about, mm-hmm. all the way to, oh, my God, this is the start of a global catastrophe. Everyone freak out. But it's capturing the attention of many people.
Well,
sure.
We've been conditioned for that. My goodness, the COVID pandemic. We could blame somebody for a catastrophizing this moment. But yeah, we're probably all a little skittish about any suggestion that there could be another global pandemic anytime soon. So what can you tell us about what's happening with this cruise ship, Daniel?
Yeah, so I did a little reading from some different sources this morning on it. You know, my in-laws, they are prolific cruisers, right? And they've taken one or two every year for a long time. They've taken my husband and I and his, you know, his siblings and their spouses on a couple of cruises too. So I've been on those boats. I think when most people think of cruising, you know, they think of you get on a boat for a week or two and, you know, you see a few stops in a tropical location, right? Or maybe you go up to Alaska, that sort of thing. So this cruise, I would say it's geared toward much more of those hardcore cruisers. This boat is the MV Hondius. It took off from the southern tip of South America from Argentina on April 1st. And it's embarking on a pretty substantial trip. These cruises go for a month or longer. And about a week after the ship left, a 70-year-old man on the ship fell ill. And a few days later, on April 11th, he passed away. His body was removed from the ship on April 24th. The man's 69-year-old wife got off the boat at the same time at St. Helena, which is off the coast of southern Africa. And she ended up passing away, too, just a couple of days later. Her test results came back on May 4th for hantavirus. And while that was all going on, a second passenger fell ill on the ship, evacuated to South Africa on May 2nd, that passenger tested positive for hantavirus as well. So that same day, a third passenger that had gotten sick on April 28th passed away on the ship. And on May 3rd, that's when the World Health Organization began reporting that they suspected a hantavirus outbreak may be on this ship.
Oh, gosh, that is just terrifying.
Yeah.
Now, hantavirus is from rodents, right? I mean, we're chatting about it in the office the other day, and we figure it was probably an infestation on the boat. At least that's what we first thought. People were, you know, breathing in those aerosolized particles from the rodent droppings and urine. I mean, that's what we know about hantavirus and how it works. It's gross and all that, but that's where, you know, hantavirus comes from. So what's going on with all that? Do they know yet if that's how the outbreak began?
I read an article from the Associated Press this morning that said the World Health Organization is still trying to figure out where it began. So something about hantavirus is that, yes, as you just said, you know, it's a virus spread by rodents through their droppings. It can also be spread, you know, in rare cases through their saliva if they happen to bite you. But it is actually very rare. It doesn't spread from person to person. But the caveat to that here is that this cruise ship that took off from, you know, Argentina, in this specific part of the world, there is a specific strain from there. It's called the Andes strain. Mm. And that strain can spread person to person. It's the only one that does this. And it has a history of doing that before any of this happened. So what they're doing right now is they're contact tracing. A lot of cruise ships carry a lot of passengers, but this one only has about 150 people on board. And they're really wanting to get all that figured out because hantavirus can have a pretty long incubation period, up to 6 weeks or so, maybe even a little longer. And it can be very deadly. It has a 40 to 60% mortality rate.
Okay, underscore that. That is the scariest part of them all, Danielle. And, you know, that part of Argentina, I believe, is Patagonia. So there are a lot of, you know, nature explorers, bird watchers that flock to that part of the world. And so I imagine there could be some contact tracing with more people that may be taking other forms of transportation to get out of there. So who knows? It certainly does make one just a tad bit skittish, I would say. But man, that high mortality rate. If you catch the disease, it really does not look good as far as treatment. It's just basically palliative at that point.
Yes. The person-to-person spread, you know, as we talked about with this strain, it is there. But the one other thing about it, too, is, like, it's not an airborne virus like COVID or like measles, like we've talked about. Measles is extremely contagious and it's airborne. If someone walks through a room and breathes, you know, in there for a few minutes and mm-hmm. they shed a ton of virus, that could get other people sick. But this hantavirus is not the same.
Whew, okay, that does make me feel a little bit better. But it's got to be stressful for those folks on the boat. I mean, you know, cruise ships, as we know, they're a magnet for spreading diseases. You think of the Norwalk virus as just being in close contact with people, mm-hmm. you know, utensils are being touched, and it kind of makes sense.
Yes, and what it looks like they're going to have to do is have these passengers monitor for symptoms. People who get seriously ill are being evacuated off the boat and quarantined and treated as they're able to treat them. You know, if I were in charge of all of this, you know, from what I understand about this virus and how it works, is I would get these passengers off the boat, away from each other. They'd have to have a safe place to isolate, you know, for several weeks while they monitor for those symptoms. But, you know, yeah, this is an ongoing developing situation, and it's evolving as we speak. So we'll see, you know, how it pans out, how
yeah,
they handle it.
And like we did during COVID, when a lot of us would isolate ourselves away from our family, if we would get it at a hotel, you know, just quarantine, hold up in a hotel,
yeah.
get some DoorDash, and life is good, you know? Okay, so staying on the subject of hantavirus and referring to that story you did earlier this week, it can happen in North Dakota, and it has.
Mm-hmm.
North Dakota is a rural state, and that's typically that's where you see hantavirus occasionally make its way into the headlines again. We've had that here in North Dakota. We have rodents around, especially those deer mice most commonly associated with the disease.
Yeah, so North Dakota began surveilling for hantavirus in 1993, and I actually remember when that began because, you know, I'm a farm kid. It was something my mother specifically was really worried about. She didn't want us kids, you know, getting into any of the older outbuildings and stirring up any of those materials and possibly getting sick because it is very deadly. But since 1993, it's very rare. We've only had 20 cases of hantavirus in the state. And getting back to how serious of that virus it is, you know, 9 of those 20 people who tested positive here in North Dakota did end up tragically passing away from it. I talked to Michelle Detloff at Health and Human Services. She's director of epidemiology and infectious diseases. And she says the illness starts off like many others do.
Fever, muscle aches, body aches, fatigue. Those are the early symptoms. And usually it can range anywhere from 1 to 8 weeks, but usually it's about 2 weeks after someone's exposed that they start having those signs and symptoms. And then usually about 7 days later on average, the serious signs start to develop, such as a pulmonary syndrome, such as things with the lungs, cough, rapid shallow breathing, shortness of breath.
So yeah, it's a pretty serious disease, and thankfully, like we've been talking about, it's pretty rare, but unfortunately, there are not any treatments or vaccines for it either. So if someone does get sick, the only thing they can really do for them is supportive care. This is the time of year when folks are typically opening up their lake cabins, getting into their sheds, breaking out the yard equipment.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, that's a very common ritual that we do around these parts. Since mice like to get into those quiet, undisturbed places over the winter, that's especially a reason to look out for that if you have a lake cabin. So aren't there some specific cleaning instructions for that?
Yes. So they want you to open windows and doors, let the space air out and ventilate pretty good for at least a half hour or so. And if you do see any signs of rodents like droppings or nesting materials, you'll want to clean the area pretty carefully. Michelle Detloff says any commercial disinfectant works great.
Make sure it's registered with the Environmental Protection Agency or EPA, and then just follow those directions on there. They're going to say things like if you're making a bleach solution, how much bleach to water, brave, the droppings, the mouse nest, let it set for about 5 minutes, and then you can get a glove, carefully pick that up, put it in a plastic bag, and throw it in the trash.
Yeah, gloves, and probably a mask wouldn't be a bad idea too if we're talking about those aerosolized particles, right?
Yeah, it certainly couldn't hurt.
So thank you, Danielle, for all that.
You bet. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
That's it for this week. Anniversary alert. Hey, this is episode number 50 of Prairie Beat. Can you believe that, Danielle?
Yeah.
Nice job on this.
Thank
hey.
You. I can believe it, actually.
Well, I'm Eric Dethridge. It's a pleasure being your little co-host here, Danielle.
Thank you very much. And yes, I am Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat again next week.